Joe is a rebel without a brain. Well, I hate to be the name-calling guy. And I hate to say things like that about people. I guess it didn't stop me, though, did it? Oh, well. Welcome to the news according to me. It's 5:01 on Friday. And for those of you who didn't notice, there wasn't a show yesterday. And there wasn't a show this morning. This just continues to go on with my busy life. But there is a show right now, concluding the week and all of its debacles. Couple of things that happened this week. Two main things that I just can't get around not talking about. And I think I did discussed Cuomo a little bit. This is the typical. He is the quintessential, the epitome, the perfect example of the leftists and the way they operate. Now, the only way I would cut this guy any slack at all in this whole investigation thing of his that has gone on is that the individual who's gone after him is incredibly politically minded. She wants his job. The Attorney General of New York. And I don't know if that's an elected office or not in their states. In some states, the Attorney General, the AG, is. In some states, it's not. Some states, it's appointed, and it's. I'm not positive of that. I don't know who appoints that person, if it is. I would need to do some research, which I wish I had some way of like reaching out into the world wide web of information and finding out how the Attorney General. Well, let's just see. New York AG election. Well, let's just find out what happens here on DuckDuckGo. So let's elections, Wikipedia, New York Attorney General. Election is held every 4 years. Electoral history results that are easily accessible and would date back to 1855. And these elections can be found online at our campaigns. All data. So it is. It's the Attorney General is an elected office in New York, which answers some questions. Then she does. My understanding is she does want to run for governor. She wants to be governor, which explains a lot about the tone of her report. When she was doing the press conference with the report that she was giving about the investigation that they had going on, her tone was incredibly, very, very controlled. I don't know if you've done anything, any kind of body language. I'm not really a body language person per se. I've done a lot of YouTube watching about body language ghosts and people like that. It's interesting. And the one thing it teaches me is just to be transparent. And just be who you are. And don't lie. Because people can detect that kind of thing. There's no use trying, in my opinion. Some people can't. You can fool some of the people some of the time. I guess I should say you can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. And and sometimes you can screw up. You can also screw up old sayings, like I just did. So you have this this issue where I was listening to her in this press conference thing, and it just seemed like she was very gated about her with her speech, as well as with her any kind of response. There was no emotion. It was not natural. In fact, her response was very, or her performance, I guess, her presentation was deliberately unattached. It was obvious to me. It was one of those things where she did not want to show her true glee or whatever she had inside of her. She didn't want to show whatever kind of emotion she had inside of her. I initially thought that she was very gated because she was very disappointed that this was a fellow Democrat. But come to find out, no. This is just a Democrat eating a Democrat. So she's after his job. That's what's behind this whole thing, for the most part. And as far as I know, Cuomo, he's not going to give up. He's not going to leave. I will be shocked and amazed if he decides to step down. He knows full well that in 2 weeks there'll be something else. It'll be in the news cycle and it'll be forgotten. Which is a slap in the face to those people who were, I believe. Now, the Attorney General came out and said she believes all women. Well, I give people the benefit of the doubt initially until, you know, something else is. It's one of those trust but verify things. Sure, I believe people to the extent that they can be believed. But, you know, allegations are just what they are. He has come back out and said, these people heard what I didn't say, heard things I didn't say, and saw things that just, you know, weren't right. Whatever he said, he just completely dissed them all. I never touched anyone inappropriately. All right, whatever. According to the witnesses who saw things go on, I would call that if the touching happened that was explained and was witnessed, I would say, yeah, that was inappropriate. Very. So now, does that mean the guy should step down? I don't know. He claims he was elected by the people, and he'll have to just wait. He can be impeached. And he can be kicked out of office with a special election, recall election, whatever what kind of rules they have there. So we'll see what happens with this craziness. And of course, in the meantime, the other thing that's kind of being swept under the rug right now is the moratorium on people being able to be evicted from their homes. Now, this does not apply to banks, by the way. A homeowner, this is where I'm not exactly sure what they can do to you. If you're not making payments on your home, I believe the bank can foreclose on you right now. But if you're paying rent, you cannot be evicted if you're not paying your rent. The landlord is stuck in between. Now, the reason I'm understanding that the banks, there's no moratorium for the banks, is because they're foreclosing on people, on landowners, landlords. Oh, you know, those evil landlords that were providing housing. This is a power grab, and you have to understand what's going on here, is that they're trying to get the middleman, which is the landowners, these people who go in, fix up a home, create a rental property, and then provide housing for people by doing that. They take the risk, they invest their money, their hard-earned taxed money, on things like property that they then rent out. Then along comes the government and says, well, you don't have to pay your rent now. And yet the landlords are not getting refunded for any of that. This is kind of like the government saying, well, you can walk in and take, you know, $950 worth of stuff out of a store and they don't have any recourse. You know, like they would never do that. Oh, wait, they are. You can go from one store to the other and walk out with $950 worth of stuff out in California. And the police will not do anything about it. And they are doing just that. They're walking out with TVs and furniture and clothes, shoes, whatever they want. And I'm sure that they're not reselling that stuff on the internet or reselling it to anybody else. I'm sure that they're using all that stuff. That's just because the government says, oh, that's just, it's, yeah, well, that's, we're not going to prosecute anybody for small petty crime. Well, you know, you take 10 or 15 people a day hauling stuff out of your store. Now, the big box stores may be able to recoup from that. The mom and pop stores, they cannot. Their margins are very small. But, you know, they don't care about them. So you got that going on. And that was, I did not realize that the CDC was the one that imposed that moratorium. Since when has the CDC had that kind of power? Apparently, they do. They're the ones that mandated the restrictions on being able to evict renters. Their thinking was, well, if we have people who are in their homes get stuck out on the street, that somehow all of a sudden that means that they're going to have more COVID issues. Well, no, because most of the people who get COVID actually get it from being shut in their homes. Because somebody's got to go out and get food. Somebody in the home is going to work. Somehow, some way, people aren't just shut in their homes, hermetically sealed from the outdoors in a bunker. We tried that for 2 weeks. It didn't work. The cases continued to rise. We told everybody to wear masks. Cases continued to rise. Well, think how bad it would have been if we hadn't locked down and had masks. I'm thinking about that. Because this thing was in the country back when we were not locked down and we weren't wearing masks because we were told not to. Because we were told they were ineffective. Now the Delta variant has come out. And they're saying that there may be actually two other variants now as well. You see, they have to keep this going until the next election. So be prepared, because I think we're heading for another shutdown. We are definitely headed towards mandatory vaccinations, which, folks, that bugs the daylights out of me. That concerns me greatly, in a big way. There are certain employers right now that are mandated. Now, I heard on the news today that there was a particular employee or employer, one of the airlines, has mandated that they're going to require all employees to be vaccinated. Now, I don't know how they can do that, because there are unions involved, unless the unions cave on this. In which case, there could be issues. There's going to be real problems here. Now, it may be that they misunderstood, because I understand that United is requiring all new hires to be vaccinated. And maybe that's what they meant. All new employees must be vaccinated to be be hired. Because my understanding is the union can push back on this. But if you're not a, if you're a new hire, you're not in the union. You're in what's called a probationary period before you can join the union. So this is going to become very messy, I have a feeling. There is definitely, we are heading towards an underclass of people. Now, because of the nature of my work, I can actually do other work. And I can basically work without even ever seeing anyone. I'll tell you a little bit about what I do. My main job, even though people don't realize this, because I do have a side job that is actually kind of what I tell people I do, because it's easier. My main job is voiceover work. And not the radio voice. It's just the average guy next door voice. In fact, well, maybe I can play you. This is one of my demos. Let's see if I can find one here. I'll look for this while we're talking about it. Yeah, here's one. Which one is this? Yeah, here we go. Let's see if this will actually play. I don't know if you can actually hear this or not, if I can play it on this thing. I'm just your average guy next door. That's why I speak like the average sounding guy next door. Because that's what I am. The guy next door. Well, maybe not next door to you, but I'm next door to somebody. And that's how I sound when I'm reading the average guy next door script. This is an explanation of this demo. You may want to take notes as you listen.
So you get the idea here. You get the idea. I've got that's one of my that's my demo reel, if you will. My little sample of all the stuff I can do. And of course I've got a movie trailer voice. In a world where one man living in a land before time. You know, that kind of thing. I do that kind of stuff. I don't do as much of that. Most of the bulk of my work is, you know, I do stuff for the medical industry. I do stuff for corporate companies that have internal video, explanation videos for their employees, that kind of thing. You know, it's an international business. I have about 400 and some clients. I have over 400 clients. And it's a busy job. I mean, I can work every day at this or not. I can take my, you know, I can make my own schedule. I basically am a sole proprietor, one man business. I come into my recording studio and I do what I want. I do auditions basically of the jobs I'd like to do or think that I think would be suitable. I'm a good fit for. And then I do those auditions and I go home. Or I get a call that I have a job. So I'll do the recordings. Sometimes the marketing firm will call me over the phone. They're talking to me over the phone as I'm recording. Can you do it a little faster? Can you say it a little bit slower? Can you put more emphasis on that word? Can you pronounce it a little differently? Whatever it is. They're giving me directions over the phone as I'm recording. And then I send them files. And then I send them an invoice. I'm done. There's no, I don't interact with people much throughout the day other than that. Or I don't have to, I should say. And I can make my living that way. So I don't really have to be exposed, per se, to the virus. Now, that being said, I also am involved pretty heavily in some church activities. And those church activities have me obviously socially involved with people because that's what church is. So this is my life. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm telling you all that just basically to explain some things about what I do. Now, so my employer is not going to require me to get a vaccination because I employ myself. Self-employed. Now, I don't know if the day will come when some of my clients are going to say, we're not going to have you do any voiceovers for us unless you're vaccinated. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. My conspiracy channel, my podcast that I'm putting together, that hopefully will be starting here soon, within the next month. That channel will explain to you some of the things about this conglomeration of how we're doing things with onboarding people for, especially for contractors. Bigger companies now are having this onboarding system for in order for you to build them, you have to go through this onboarding contracting system. Well, these contracting systems, these onboarding processes are multiple. They're not just with one company. You're onboarding through a third party. Now think about that for a while. Let's say the local hospital has the same onboarding company for sending them a bill or an invoice as the McDonald's. And they're centralizing the control of people sending in invoices. So you've got fewer and fewer, fewer and fewer individuals or entities allowing access to billing clients. Well, if you can't bill a client, you can't get the client. I mean, you're going to do work for people and not get paid for it? So you have this issue now of, this is all coming up now, of centralizing more and more the workforce. And the IRS hates small business. The upper people at the IRS hate small business because they have all these people. If they want to do audits, they have to do all these little audits for all these little businesses. They would rather everybody just work for one company and they can just do one audit. It's a lot easier to deal with. So these centralized onboarding companies now, if they check the little box and say, now you're required to get a vaccination, you're required to have this particular mark, these papers, these documents in order to onboard with us. Well, it's just a matter of time. Now, what's scary about this whole thing is, we've all heard about in Revelation, the whole thing about the mark of the beast and buying and selling and that whole thing. Everyone thought that was a financial system. Well, take a step back and look at all this. Recently heard Dave Rubin on the Rubin Report. He was having a discussion with Ben Shapiro. And I'm not going to get into anything about what you think about Ben Shapiro and what you think about Dave Rubin, whatever. They're two intellectual people having a discussion. I have no problem with that. If you're so closed-minded about a particular person's politics or who they are as an individual, then you're shutting yourself off to society in general. But I may not agree with everything that they do in their life and the things that they believe, but I'm certainly, that doesn't mean I can't talk to them or listen to their discussion or have an opinion about what they were talking about. Because that's the way it should be. Free and open discussion, dialogue, discourse. And in the midst of all this, Rubin said he's not afraid of the government. He's afraid of big tech and the powers that be and their ability to take over our lives. Well, I beg to differ with him on that, because the government really has a responsibility to keep big tech under control with regard to protecting our rights and our liberties. And the problem we have right now is that we have people on the left who are calling for more control. They're saying that big tech is not controlling enough. They want more censorship because, of course, they like the censorship they're doing. The problem with this beast that you're creating with the censorship thing is that at some point they're going to censor you. And then all of a sudden you're not going to like it. And of course, you're already going to have your foot in the trap. So in the midst of all of this that's going on, we have Joe Biden allowing the CDC, the CDC is under his, it's under the executive branch. They're funded by the Congress, but they're directed and appointed by the executive branch. The Biden-Harris administration. Now, stop and think about that. He claims that they finally found, you know, they were talking to a lot of scholars. Some were saying there's no path to pass muster. But apparently they found one person who said, well, and here's the deal. And this is Maxine Waters' thing. This actually came mostly from Maxine Waters. Let's just do it. Because the problem is that the Supreme Court ruled that the CDC does not have the authority to do that, what they did. So basically they're saying that, well, the Supreme Court doesn't have any what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a word in my head right now, which is, there's a lot of space in there. Well, it's not so much space, it's just there's a lot of other junk in there. The Supreme Court has no, it's not the word authority is what I'm not looking for. They have no, there's no police force. There's no way they can, you know, the government, the executive branch can demand federal officers to go do something. They'll crack down on you. The Supreme Court doesn't have that. They have no ability to enforce, they have no enforcement authority, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They have no enforcement ability. The IRS doesn't either, at least not on paper. And we can get into a big discussion about the IRS and income taxes and all the other illegal things that are going on. There's a lot of people who've worked for the IRS who've discovered that there is no statute for income tax unless you are a manufacturer, distributor, or what is it? Unless you manufacture, sell, or distribute tobacco, firearms, or alcohol. That is in the Constitution. And so there are some book things that are, I think, publishing issues. The entire income tax system falls under the jurisdiction of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. If you don't manufacture, sell, or distribute any of those items for your income, you are not subject to an income tax. So, but I digress. Everybody pays it. Everybody gets along. Everybody goes along to get along. And the income tax is actually not even used for what you think it's used for. They'll always have that argument. Well, how are you going to pay for your fire department and your schools and your local police officers? Well, I hate to tell you this, but property tax, property owners who pay property tax, they're the ones who are paying for most of that. The majority of that, vast bulk of that, comes out of property tax, which I also think is immoral. If I go out and work hard, save my money up, go out and buy a house, you're gonna tax me for that every year. There's no other kind of property you can own that the people will tax you like that on. Like if I go out and buy a motorhome, I don't get charged property tax for that. However, when I drive it and I burn fuel, there's taxes within the fuel that I pay for. Now they're talking about taxing people for driving for every mile that you drive. So they're going to put a scanner in your car. I'm sure it's all part of the iPass thing. Everybody's going to basically have a little iPass or an easy pass in their car. And you'll be registered everywhere you go. They'll be able to track how many miles you've driven a year. They're going to tax you for that. Even though they already do. The problem is electric cars are plugging it at home. So they have no way of taxing you for that. Yeah. Folks, it's coming down. The walls are closing in on all of us here. And the more they close in, the faster they move. But I digress. So Joe Biden has decided that he's just going to ignore the Supreme Court. Talk about a constitutional crisis, a co-equal branch of government deciding to just ignore the other one. Ignore the checks and balances. This is tyranny. This is a tyrannical despot. This is not what our country is about. And if you want to talk about a danger to our, quote, democracy, this is it. This is an illegal action. You can talk about Andrew Jackson, what happened with the Indians in the March of Tears after the Supreme Court ruled that the, I believe it was the Cherokee, had the right to keep their land. And the Jackson administration, I don't know that it was Jackson himself. Supposedly some people are trying to let him off the hook by saying that he wasn't the one who made the decision. He certainly could have stopped it. He didn't. The number of people who died being marched out into the desert. Singing hymns. Most of the Cherokee at that time had been converted to Christianity. People don't talk about that. And they got ushered off into the desert. But I digress again. So whenever, now we have a person in the White House who apparently has no problem with this. Because the end, again, the end justifies the means for these people. Lie, cheat, and steal because the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter. Hypocrisy, all that stuff doesn't matter. But that's where we're at now with all this stuff. So, needless to say, this is the end of the week. We are, you know, at sundown tonight, we are starting Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. We have some very serious stuff going on in the country. And yet, the news media is completely oblivious, and they just want to talk about... MSNBC is still all talking about Trump. We got his taxes now. What's going to happen? Well, we're going to get him now. We got him now. Indictment's coming anytime now. And yet there's, you know, this is just ridiculous. And my understanding is that even the news media, legacy news media, is getting a little bit tired. Some of the investigative reporters are getting a little tired of what's going on with the current administration. We have a push for mandatory vaccinations. We have a push for more boosters now. They're saying the next booster is going to help a lot. Well, we were told that the first shot was going to give you up to 90% immunity to this thing. Well, the variant. It works very well against the variant. Fighting the variant makes it a lot less dangerous. Really? Where's the numbers on that? Let's pull out the numbers and see who's getting this thing. Who's been vaccinated and who hasn't, and who's having really the real issues with this thing? Because apparently only vaccinated people are getting the variant, because if the variant is so deadly, then how many people are dying from the variant that haven't been vaccinated? Are they really the ones that are spreading it? Let's see the numbers. They keep saying, well, it's the unvaccinated who are spreading the variant. Okay, and where's the study on that? Where are the numbers? Again, it's just talking points. It's a political football. It's just things they're saying that they have no evidence of. They just repeat it. They say it because they need somebody to blame. Maybe it is. I'm just saying there's no numbers. Where's the study? Where's the numbers? Because all the studies I've seen so far are not saying that. whether they are from this country or outside of this country. Even the CDC had some numbers that they put out recently that they had to retract because it wasn't good news for the vaccination. It was nowhere near what they had projected. So I was going to look something else up, and I totally lost it here. I just, as I was going on my little rant, I totally forgot and lost my train of thought. I need a producer. So here we're coming up on the weekend, and I have to, I'll be leaving over the weekend. I'll be traveling again. And it looks like, well, as far as I know, unless they shut everything down again, but if I, I'm hoping to have a show for all y'all on Monday. It looks like I'll be recording on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, actually. We'll be recording another show that will be posted on Monday morning. And I'll be keeping an ear to the ground and seeing what's going on with all the particular news. I just remember what I was going to do, but... There we go. So, let's read some headlines. Maryland, the state of Maryland now, mandates vaccines for state workers. The Republican Congress now is calling for the impeachment of Biden over illegal eviction moratorium. They're actually going to call for his impeachment. Now, they can't get it done. They're in the minority. They can't get it done. But they at least need to be trying to do something. They get pretty bold when they don't have any power. Oh, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. And of course, then when they take over the House in 22, they won't impeach anybody. Kamala Harris is already, done impeachable things. And I know of some lawyers right now that are already planning to submit articles of impeachment for Kamala Harris if she steps in. Here's getting... Bill O'Reilly, once again this last week, made a tremendous prediction that Joe is not going to be electable in his second term. Bill, if you think Joe is going to run for a second term, you are... What is wrong with you? He's 6 months into his presidency. 6.5 now, maybe? You think he's going to go another 3.5 years? Are you out of your mind, Bill? Apparently, you're about as out of it as Joe is. You're like one step behind him here. John Hopkins' doctor explains his opposition to mandatory vaccination for all Americans. Well, that's refreshing. Mighty big of him. Congressman Madison Cawthorn slams school board for forcing children to wear masks. I totally agree with that. Leaked inside Dr. Jill Biden's abusive office environment. Apparently she's abusive now. Who knows? It's all rumor stuff. Coming to the USA, Venezuela manipulates its currency again. This is where we're headed for our currency, folks. They have to do this. They're starting to crack down on the whole Bitcoin thing, any kind of cryptocurrencies. They're trying to find ways to tax people over that. And they are encroaching on it. McAfee, the cyber guy. I never trusted that guy until I heard him in an interview not long before he was suicided in a Spanish prison, I think, wherever he was. He was Epstein. So they have, he had this interesting interview about cryptocurrency and the government's ability to encroach on our lives. He was a big anti-globalist liberty guy. I'd not realize that. Denver is spending twice as much per homeless person than a kid in school. Speaking of which, by the way, the homeless population, those who have been cast out of their homes because they got evicted for not paying the rent, you would think that COVID would have decimated them. It has not. Criticizing Fossey is a hate crime, law professor claims. Now, it's a hate crime to criticize Fossey's ideas. Not picking on his gender, not picking on his ethnic background, not picking on his nose growing every day. Simply disagreeing with the man is a hate crime. CNN fires 3 employees for being unvaccinated. This is where we're headed. This is the kind of hysteria we have going on right now. It is absolutely hysteria. Study shows greater immune system response in those that recovered naturally from COVID than those that were vaccinated. This I do believe. I'm not a doctor, but I do believe this. There's a lot of video footage that the government is not releasing from January 6th. Florida approves school choice vouchers for parents whose kids go to school in districts that mandate masks. Teachers union sues to keep critical race theory lesson plan secret. Head of a radical homosexual lobbying group helped Andrew Cuomo smear one of his accusers. France and Italy to roll out oppressive new vaccine passport systems. U.S. heavyweight Olympic wrestler wins the gold in dramatic fashion. That was actually pretty inspiring. What she did was very inspiring. Now, let's get back to some of these other things. Study shows greater immune system among. Let's see if I can open that up without it. That's one thing there. Let's go here. Here we go to the Federalist, apparently. This is from the Federalist. Yeah, this is an article from Federalist. Study finds greater antibody response in recovered COVID-19 patients than vaccinated ones. A new study has found that individuals that have previously contracted, this is by Sean Fleetwood. It was put out August 5th. A new study has found that individuals that have previously contracted COVID-19 show a more potent antibody response than those who were solely vaccinated for the respiratory virus. Conducted by research team at Rockefeller University in New York, the analysis found that between a first prime and second booster shot of either the Pfizer BioNTech or Moderna vaccine, the memory B cells of infection-naive individuals produced antibodies that involved increased neutralizing activity against SARS-CoV-2, but also that no additional increase in the potency or breadth of this activity was observed thereafter. Meanwhile, researchers determined that not only do recovered COVID-19 patients possess neutralizing antibodies up to a year after infection, but that such infection simultaneously assists in offering protection against developing variants. Severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2, infection produces B cell responses that continue to evolve for at least 1 year, the study read. During that time, memory B cells express increasingly broad and potent antibodies that are resistant to mutations found in variants of concern. The analysis later goes on to conclude memory antibodies selected over time by natural infection have greater potency and breadth than antibodies elicited by vaccination. Moreover, the results suggest that boosting vaccinated individuals with currently available mRNA vaccines would produce a quantitative increase in plasma neutralizing activity, but not the qualitative advantage against variants obtained by vaccinating convalescent individuals. End quote. The study's findings add to further mounting evidence detailing the level of protection natural immunity offers previously infected COVID-19 patients. Last month, Emory University published an extensive investigation describing the efficiency of long-term, it's not efficacy, it was actually efficiency, yeah, it's okay. Gotta make sure I got that word yet. Immunity against the respiratory virus. Similar discoveries have also been identified in research released by the Cleveland Clinic and the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, respectively. Now, this particular article is one I am going to, I'm definitely going to send this to some people. Because it deserves to be sent to some people that I know. Let's see if I can actually post this into a file. Looks like it can. Yeah. I'm going to save that because I can. Let's see here. Save. I'm going to put that on my... I'm going to put it in there, but who knows whether it'll stay in there or not. There we go. I'm just going to save it right there. And I'm also going to just... I'm just going to send this on to somebody else. Let's see if I can do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Anyway, interesting stuff. So there you go. There you have it. Now, why are we not testing for antibodies in people? Instead of just saying, you got to have the vaccine, why are we not testing for antibodies? It would seem that that would be much more efficient, and actually now we're seeing that it's actually more effective. No, because there's a push to get the vaccine in everybody for some odd reason. I think there's more to this. And frankly, I just think there's more to it. So there you go. Hey, if you want to get the vaccination, get the vaccination. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. And don't give me this stuff about how if you don't get it, you're endangering everybody else. Because there's enough evidence out there that said there's this really good article that was written by, I don't know who actually wrote it. I can't remember who wrote it now, but it was very good in terms of the hypocrisy in this whole thing and how the fact that if you have the virus or if you have the vaccination, you can carry the virus. And it's, it was just pointing out all the ridiculousness and the notions about, you know, both ways in this thing. So, yeah. So, I guess that's all I can say about it because there's so many more things I want to talk about this week. And, yeah, talking about who the terrorists are. Probably the show that I do on Sunday is going to be an incredible in-depth gaze solely at what was going on January 6th and the whole commission that's involved about that whole thing. I want to talk more about the individuals who are being interviewed, the police that were there that day. I want to talk about the hypocrisy of those involved in this whole thing, how they handpicked individuals to be interviewed, they handpicked people to be on the commission. And let's talk about the actual, and just calling them flat out, just calling them terrorists all the time. And also, one guy actually invoked the Christianity into the whole thing, Christian terrorists. We'll talk about that. God bless everybody. Shabbat shalom. Have a great weekend.